There's a whole lot of scriptures in the Word about joy. Amen. Welcome to church this morning. We're so thankful that you decided to join us for worship today. And I want to say a special thanks to all the friends who were invited and came today. And so if you were invited as a friend and you came today, if you don't mind, would you please stand this morning? And let's give them a hand clap. And we have a devotional for you and for anyone else who is here who has not received a Christmas devotional. The title is The Heart of Christmas. And so raise your hand. And we'll make sure you get one. Are you enjoying your devotional? Oh, amen. Peace was so good this last week. The devotionals every day. Just raise your hand and make sure you get one. Thank you so much. And we're so glad you're here. At River of Life, we celebrate meaningful relationships that encourage us to be the best versions of ourselves. Healthy, meaningful relationships. And I appreciate Brother Terry coming today, Apostle Terry over the Great Lakes Christian International Region. Thank you for coming. He's our friend. He helps us be the best version of ourselves. Thank you for being here. And thank you, everyone else. What a great day. Well, it's the countdown. As we move towards Christmas and celebration of Jesus' birth, I finished texting my grandchildren this week that hadn't sent me a gift list yet. The requirement is 3 prayer requests and 3 items that they would like to receive as gifts. But I'm not promising all 3. Are we, honey? We go broke with as many grandkids as we have. But the countdown's coming. You know, and if you would get your shopping all done this week and everything ready, do you know how peaceful it would be as Christmas gets here? So I encourage you, if you haven't got it done, and that's my goal, I'm getting it done this week, finishing it up so that I can have a peaceful, relaxing time during the holidays because I'm not hosting Christmas this year. One of my daughters volunteered, so that makes a plus. Hallelujah. Yeah, you can give her a hand clap. It's Teresa, our middle daughter. But anyway, it's coming quick. And so getting prepared. You know, it's easy to get caught up in the gifts, decorations, parties, and getting prepared for Christmas in the natural sense. But we want to focus in this morning on the gifts that Jesus brought at Christmas time. And we've studied hope, peace, and today we're going to look at joy. This is the third week of Advent, and that's what we focus on. So we're going to read a couple scriptures together and then pray. Luke 2:8-11, and you can read with me if you'd like to. And there were shepherds living in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." Next verse. Isaiah 9:6. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. We thank you, Lord, for the scriptures we will study this morning. Father, I pray that the Holy Spirit teaches each one of us. And Lord, we thank you for your joy this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we're going to have a little discussion this morning, and I'm going to share a scenario with you, And if this scenario would bring you joy, I'm going to ask you if you would please stand. So if it doesn't, just stay in your seat, okay? Is that everyone, you want to participate this morning? If you cannot stand, if it's hard for you to get up, at least raise your hand, okay? All right. So the first scenario is this. You go to your favorite drive-through for a cup of your favorite coffee or your favorite drink. And when you get there and place your order, when you go to pick it up, you discover somebody already paid for it. Does that give you joy? Just stay seated if it doesn't matter to you. I love getting through the drive-thru and somebody paid for it. Hallelujah. All right, you can be seated. The next one is, you wake up Christmas morning and there's 4 inches of snow that fell overnight. Now, does that give you joy? Stay seated if it gives you a little bit of pain. On Christmas, it's okay. Jeff says it's okay on Christmas. Oh, Harold's decided it's okay on Christmas, too. Oh, you may be seated. After Christmas, the snow can go away. Awesome. There's one more, and then we're done with this. Got to move my page here. All right. I remember what it is because I made them up. So the last one is you plug in your strand of Christmas tree lights the first time and they all work. Does that cause joy? Oh, that even got Elder Jim to stand up this morning. All right. Give everyone a hand of appreciation this morning. So there are certain situations in our life that definitely make us feel good. And then there are definite situations in our life that don't make us feel so good. But I believe the theme that we've heard this morning through everything presented is that regardless of our circumstances, we can still have the joy of the Lord. You know, Luke said, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people." So joy is for everyone. Tell your neighbor, joy is for everyone. Joy is for everyone. And because Jesus Christ was born, it brings us great joy this morning. And this morning we're going to look at a couple passages in John. And John gives a different perspective on the birth of Jesus. And rather than talking about the angels and the shepherds and the manger and the magi, which is covered in the other books, he gives a big picture explanation of what took place at Bethlehem. And what John wrote is a cause for joy no matter what we face in life. And that's found in John 1:14. You can read it with me if you would like. "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." So what John describes is known as incarnation, and it comes from the Latin word carne, which means flesh. The incarnation was God putting on skin and becoming one of us. If you go back to John 1:1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." All right? And then in this verse, it tells us that the Word became flesh. And the W is capitalized because it is the person of Jesus who came in the flesh. Trevor Miller said it like this. He's called the Word because he perfectly embodies all of Scripture in human flesh by the way he lived here on earth. So when Jesus was born in a manger, he was God coming to live among us as one of us with skin and bone and flesh and blood. And this passage gives us two reasons for joy. Even though situations can change, because it is a constant reminder in our life, and I call it like a grounding attitude, that no matter what we face in this world, Jesus Christ came to this world. God sent his son because he loved me so much. When you realize how much God loves you, it can be a grounding attitude, regardless of what we're going through. So, number one, we can have joy because God sent Jesus to demonstrate his love for us. And so a misperception many people have is that they have to earn their salvation. They have to earn God's love. They have to work really hard to be accepted by God. And that's one of the greatest joy robbers in our life, when we think that we're never going to be good enough. And we must admit, we are all broken, flawed people. We hurt other people, even though that's not the original intent, was to hurt someone. We hurt other people because we're not perfect. And so it's only through Jesus Christ that we can become who he says we are. When we allow Jesus Christ to live in us and through us, he is the one that changes us and transforms us. And it just gives me joy to think God didn't give up on me. All the mistakes I've made and all the mistakes I continue to make, God has not given up on me. Tell somebody, God hasn't given up on me. And I'm thankful. Tell him, I'm thankful he did not give up on me. Hallelujah. And I'm thankful for friends that stick by us, family members that will stick by you in the midst of everything going on, because they see Jesus in you and the love of God is there that binds us together. Hallelujah. I read a story in a discipleship journal about a dad. His name's Paul, and he had an encounter with his daughter. And he said, I remember coming home one afternoon to discover that the kitchen I had worked so hard to clean only a few hours before was now a terrible wreck. And ladies, don't we love husbands, dads that clean kitchens? Hallelujah. I liked this story when I first started reading it. That's wonderful. We appreciate that. And we all know what it's like to work so hard to get something clean and then to come home and the kids have made it a mess. Nancy's laughing out there because it doesn't take long. But he said, my young daughter had obviously been busy cooking and the ingredients were scattered along with the dirty bowls and utensils across the counters and floor, and I was not happy with the situation. Then as I looked a little more closely at the mess, I spied a tiny note on the table, clumsily written and smeared with chocolatey fingerprints. The message was short. I'm making something for you, Dad. And it was signed, Your Angel. So in the midst of that disarray and mess, and despite my irritation, joy suddenly sprang up in my heart, sweet and pure. My attention had been redirected from the problem to the little girl I loved. As I encountered her in that brief note, I delighted in her. With her simple goodness in focus, I could take pleasure in seeing her hand at work in the situation that seemed otherwise disastrous. So, you know, God finds great joy in us. Do you know that? He delights in each one of us and finds joy in us. And as I read this story, I felt like even in the midst of the messes that we make, God never changes. His love for us never changes. His delight for us never changes. In the midst of all the messes that we make, he is still looking down at us and smiling upon us, and is always there if we need help to help us. I'm sure this dad went back alongside his daughter and helped clean up the mess. And aren't we so thankful that God comes alongside of us and helps us clean up our messes? Thank you, Lord, because the effect that we have in other people's lives, often we ourselves, we cannot make things right. But you know, when you pray and ask the Lord to touch their lives, touch their hearts, He's the one that begins to work in the middle of the conflict, in the middle of the difficult situation. He's the only one who can change hearts. He's the only one who can change minds. He's the only one that can bring things all back together again. Woo! That's why He came to earth, was so that He could set things right once again. Give the Lord a praise this morning. I'm preaching myself happy today. Romans 5:8 says, "But God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." While we were still a mess, we weren't even born yet, but He knew what was to come. He was willing to give His life for you and I. And that brings great joy. Thank you, Jesus. That's right. Hallelujah. So, you know, God's gift of grace, Jesus Christ came with grace and truth. This gift of grace that He offers to us without a price, and it's without a price because we could never afford it on our own. While we were sinners, Christ died for us. Hallelujah. God sent the Messiah to finally come to rescue us from the curse of sin and death. We were in a mess, and we couldn't get ourselves out. What great joy. Point number two, that God sent Jesus so we could live through Him. So these are the two things that we see coming from the grace and the truth. We can have an abiding joy that comes from God alone because of the great gift of grace that He's given to us. It's like a wrapped up gift that we share with one another. And we had lots of gifts yesterday. It was great. We had a wonderful Deborah Troop meeting. I believe we had more people at Deborah Troop than we have here this morning. Hallelujah. We had a great time with all of the ladies. And we heard, we pray for Pat. She's not feeling well this morning. And anybody else that could not come back in, we're just grateful for the time that we had together. We're grateful for this time today. This is Friends Sunday, and everyone brings something special because you're a gift from God. You're a gift from the Lord. Tell your neighbor you're a gift from the Lord. You are a gift from the Lord. And God's gifts to us, when Jesus Christ came, He came with grace. Thank God for His grace. And He came with truth. He was full of truth. That word truth comes from the Greek word that means divine reality revealed to man. It also means straightforwardness. So Jesus holds this grace in one hand, and He holds truth in the other. And when we receive Him as our Lord and Savior, we begin to live life through Him, and He gives us a new identity. We're a new person in Christ Jesus. All things are passed away. Behold, we become new. So regardless of the labels the world puts on you, regardless of what somebody has said about you, don't let that get you down, because that's not who you are. That's who they think you are. But we are who God says that we are. Woo! Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. In 1 John, it says this, 1 John 4:9. "This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. In Him we live and we move and we have our being." Thank you, Lord. So Jesus came to earth to release incredible joy. And the way this happens is through his gift of grace and his gift of truth. Jesus came full of grace and full of truth. The grace is that he accepts us right where we are. He loves us in the middle of our mess. The truth is he's not willing to leave us that way, because there's a much better version of each one of us that God has in mind as we live our life through him. Somebody say amen. So point number three, we can have joy because God sent Jesus to provide salvation for our souls. Our souls are in the process of being renewed and saved. Our souls are mind, will, and emotions. And you sitting here today, you're not the same people that you were 10 years ago. Amen. God has changed us. He's rearranged us. He has given us salvation, the saving of our souls. Thank you, Lord. For it is by grace that you are saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It's the gift of God. It's not by works, so that no one can boast. So grace is a word that shows up a lot in the scripture, and we are so thankful for God's grace this morning. It's only because of his grace that we can live with joy. If it wasn't for God's grace, we would still be in darkness. We would still be trapped in sin. But because of God's grace, he gave his life for us, gave us the opportunity to receive him as Lord and Savior. And then as we read his word, there's this life-changing experience from the word of truth. How many have experienced that life-changing power in the word? You can't explain it, but when you look back, you're so thankful the word's changed you. Amen? Thank you, Lord, for your love. So, a couple quotes from Charles Spurgeon. He says, there is a marvelous medicinal power in joy. Most medicines are distasteful, but this, which is the best of all medicines, is sweet to the taste and comforting to the heart. This blessed joy is very contagious. The grace of joy is contagious. Holy joy will oil the wheels of your life's machinery. Holy joy will strengthen you for your daily labor. Holy joy will beautify you and give you an influence over the lives of others. So this Christmas, may you come to find a heart this holiday that has a deep, abiding joy because of the love of God and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. It holds the power to change us, and it holds the power to change the world. Our final scriptures in 1 Peter 1, 8 through 9, it says, though you have not seen him, would you read this? I love this scripture. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Hallelujah. I'm so thankful for the joy of the Lord. And the amazing thing, you were talking a little bit about neuroscience this morning, Gabe. In neuroscience, the part of the brain that develops joy is behind your right eye. It's the right prefrontal cortex. That is where joy is formed. And when you're born, that area of your brain is pretty much empty, because that part of the brain develops through stimulation. And so the stimulation is babies are born and they can smell. And that's, they're born with that ability to smell. And they begin to bond with mom and dad and family by smells, and also by voice and touch. And one of the biggest things is temperature control. They bond with whoever will help control their temperature. Little babies can't control their body temperature. And that's why moms are always wrapping, unwrapping, checking to see, are they too warm, are they too cold? Did you ever do that, moms? That's all a part of bonding with that baby. But around 3 months, they begin to really look into your face. And babies love to look into your face. And what is happening as they look into their face, they are looking for the joy that's in your eyes. They're looking for that twinkle in your eye. They're looking for something that says, I delight in you. And I studied under two doctors. One was Dr. Jim Friesen and one was Dr. Jim Wilder. And they both were psychologists, psychiatrists. And they were Christians. And they said, we don't want to be a psychologist and a psychiatrist and just do the same thing that everybody else does and just say, well, we're Christian psychiatrists and psychologists. Does that make sense? They looked for a pure Bible model of how people develop and grow. And their findings were about this joy stimulation from the Word of God. God gave them deep revelation. Well, now we have neuroscience that's proving that. The baby's brains will light up in this area behind the right eye. And they have learned so much about the importance of bonding and eye contact. And the doctor, Jim's, their philosophy was people heal in community. They heal with other people. They heal in communities where there's love and delight in one another. Many people are raised in communities where it's fear. It's fear. You do what you're supposed to do out of fear that you're going to be punished. But when you're raised in a community where love is the bonding element, it's amazing and it's deep. I can't go into all of it this morning. But the thing that just amazed me was this part of the brain can be stimulated. And there's different time periods in your life where it's greatly stimulated. And you still have, from even when you're an adult, you still have some fetal neurons that are still operating in that part of your brain. And they said one of the ways as an adult to be able to identify what the baby is feeling when they're being stimulated is, how many here ever experienced puppy love? Do you ever have some puppy love? And you know that euphoria? They say that is what a baby is experiencing when their joy is being established. And these researchers in neuroscience, they had no other word for what was going on in these babies' brains other than joy. Well, that made the Christian doctors really excited that they couldn't find any other term for it but the term joy. Because joy is abiding within our hearts. And so that can be stimulated, and it comes from eye-to-eye contact. It comes from being with people in a loving community. Your joy can continue to grow. So much of the brain is myelinated and it's hardwired and it cannot be changed. But this is a part of the brain that can be. And looking in one another's eyes and by saying, I'm delighted to be with you today. And so when we're going to get ready to go out and have some food together, we're delighted to be with one another today. We can look one another in the face. Thank God that the COVID restrictions are over and we can be together and enjoy one another's company, because there's something that feeds your soul in the midst of all of that that you can't get anyplace else, because this is God's design. This is God's design for abiding joy to be resident on the inside of each one of us. So let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the word that's gone forward today. Thank you, Father, for your joy that it abides deep on the inside of us. And Lord, I pray for everyone listening to this message today, Lord God, that you would touch their hearts. Lord, I pray if they're not connected with a community, with friends, that with love bonds, Lord, I pray that you get people positioned in this next year, in this season, Lord, to be in a place where they can receive joy, love, and acceptance. Thank you for sending Jesus Christ to demonstrate his love for us. Thank you for grace and truth this morning. Lord, your grace that's extended to each one of us. And Lord, for your truth that heals and changes us and transforms us into people who are like you. In Jesus' name, amen.